Now we can go. It sure is. Lord, we just thank you for another outstanding night with you and our brothers and sisters. Praise you, Father, that tonight's the night. And we thank you, Lord, that every time we get together with you in mind, that we're in one accord. Lord, we ask that your Spirit lead us tonight. And let us say only the things that you'd have us to say, Lord. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven tonight and open communications. We thank you, Lord, for sending your techie angels out there to keep these lines open for all in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord, that tonight people's lives will be changed. We're going to hear some wonderful testimonies. And, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in our life because we know that you're our guide, you're our lead, you're everything to us. And we praise you, Father, for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Father. Melt our hearts together in love that you have given us, Father, for each other. It's the love of Christ that overcomes everything. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us, Lord. Praise you, Father, for bringing us together, getting us ready, giving us that overcoming power to overcome the flesh and the world in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Who's got a prayer request? Yes, Julie.
I would like to pray and have you all agree. I don't watch any of the news really. I don't watch anything. I don't have that opportunity, but I know other people do, and I know there's a lot of bad things happening out there because of the the people that are in office right now and what it looks like and what people are perceiving. And so I would just like to pray about that. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are sovereignly in control of everything. And I know there's a lot of people, Father, that are discouraged. Their hearts are aching. They're disappointed with the results of what transpired after the first of the year with the election. The things that they had their hopes up, Lord, for so much, for great things, and we all have. But I trust you, Lord, that your timing in the revealing of all of the darkness that has been going on and exposing all of the corruption and the wickedness and bringing people out of deception, Lord, but I take authority with my brothers and sisters here in this room against all discouragement and disappointment and depression and hopelessness and despairing and just all the feelings and the thoughts that go along with what is happening in the world right now, what everyone is perceiving by what is being spread through the deception and lies of the media and whatever they're listening to and all of the things that are just seem so contrary to what you promised us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that all of these things are bound up and cast down. And I pray, God, an outpouring of your grace, Lord, that people will seek you and seek you earnestly during these days, Father, that they would want to know, seek comfort in your word, seek comfort in the promises we have, that you give them dreams, that you give them revelations, that you would encourage them where they are, that they not fall back, Lord, and forgive us all, Lord, for having any kind of idolatry towards the man that we're believing to come back into office, Lord. We know that you put him there, and we know and believe you're going to fulfill every plan and purpose that you have for him, what you've shown us, and that you're going to do it in your way, in your time, that you will get all the glory. So I thank you, Lord, for doing beyond what we can ask or think. And you see the reasons behind all of these things on the bad side You see what the wickedness is doing and how and why it's operating the way it is. And we don't rely on our understandings, our reasonings, and our thought processes because we don't know it all. But you see and know everything, and we trust you, God, and we believe you to answer our prayers for our families and loved ones, and that they're going to come into the kingdom. They are going to repent of the things that they have believed. They are going to be encouraged. They are going to be hopeful. And we look forward to the great, mighty work you're going to do, Lord, and we're going to see you do it, and we're going to be part of it. So thank you, Lord, for hearing these requests of mine, and my brothers and sisters in agreement with me, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with you, and we believe it is so. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Andrew.
Well, I had an interesting phone call from my sister. And it was quite a long phone call. I meant it. Of course, my sister used to work for a blood bank, and she's very knowledgeable in the hospital and stuff. And everyone's trying to tell me to get the COVID shot, of course. And I told her it was too late for me to do that. And I gave her a list of verses why, and tried to give her an understanding of just saying to her, it would be like I'd be turning back on him right now if I was to do that. So I didn't get into that too much. I managed to get the gospel out to her. And she wanted to know more about UBM. So I gave her the site. You know, at first I said, well, I don't really want to give you the site because I want to protect my people. You know, I want to protect the church. And then she says, you know, well, if you think it's something that, you know, that they need that much protection in secret. So I just said, okay. I told her where it was, and so that she'd probably go to the site and look at it. So I already prayed about that, and we just prayed about it again for our loved ones. So I just think that that's a bit of a praise report for a person who might now be drawn, that we are perhaps in the end times, you know. And it's not much of a drawing, but at least it's some sort of drawing by God for her. And that's my praise report. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray for my grandson, Blake. Most of you know who I'm talking about. He just graduated from a rehab, from the first level of it, and they've given him a little more liberty in the second level of it. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you grab a hold of him and bring him through this without any more hiccups. And we thank you for it, Father, that you just grab him and put him in where you want him, Lord. And Lord, I ask and I pray for complete surrendering of his soul to you, Lord. And I thank you for helping him overcome, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Blake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he's going to work for a drywall company. But he went to start to work today, as a matter of fact. And they're giving him his phone back, and I think they erased all the names on it, so praise God for that. He's going to be all right, because I believe, and y'all believe with me. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Amen. Yes, 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 yes. Pat, go ahead.
I just wanted to continue on that that prayer that Julie started. And Father, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into the earth now to open up our eyes and to give the masses eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, I thank you that you are dismantling the fear in people's lives so that they can adventure out and look into these things and start to consider what is happening behind the scenes. And Lord, I just thank you that you're taking away the fear. We've been in this whole change of society here for a year now, and people are kind of not only getting used to it, but they're also getting used to questioning the ones that are supposedly calling the shots. And you're bringing forth just a spirit of healthy skepticism in our those that rule over us, so to speak, in the government, and even those in this apostate system, Lord. So I thank you for that. I just pray that you would give ears, open up ears and eyes to see and to receive the things that are coming upon the earth, and to reach out, give grace to people to reach out and latch hold of you, latch hold of your word, and latch hold of the hope that you provide in Christ. So I thank you for that, Lord. Also, just take a moment just to pray for President Trump, and I, as we listen to one of the latest dreams about President Trump being proud or arrogant or thinking that, you know, this whole thing, that he pulled this whole thing off himself. Lord, I just, I bind that spirit of pride. I know that you are using it right now for your benefit, but I bind that spirit of pride in him, and I cast it down and put it under your foot, under his foot, Lord. I pray that you would open up his eyes, bring someone by him that he can consider and realize that there is an all-powerful God supporting him through this situation. And I thank you for that, Lord. I just ask that you would give him eyes to see, Lord, that take him to whatever level needs to happen in order to accomplish your work. But Lord, I was thinking of Nebuchadnezzar, that you, there was a time when he went over the line and was, you sent Daniel to warn him, and he evidently did not break off his sins and repent, and you took him down. And so, Lord, I would just pray that you would open up President Trump's eyes to that very thing, and that he needs to focus upon you and think of your leading and your guiding and how you are bringing this thing around and putting him back in office by your way, and in a way that no one could ever envision. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your strength and your power and your ability to guide, Lord, as even as Benjamin Franklin said, no nation in the world ever rose up without the hand of God bringing that nation into being. And so, Lord, we see this as a transition into a new nation, a new nation, and even the nation of Zion coming about for the first time in a realistic presence on the earth. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing in your people, that you're bringing us about, that you are transitioning us into an awareness of the kingdom of God within us, that you are releasing in the earth today. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you have given us eyes to see. And what a privilege and a joy to be in this time that you've created us to be, that you've called us to be in, Lord. So I thank you and I praise you for this time and this grace and these this awareness of where we are at in time. I just pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us to the overflowing, that we can rest easy in your rest, in your covenant relationship. Thank you for the words that David had in this old teaching that he, a rerun, I guess, that we had this weekend. Very, very good and inspiring. And Lord, I just thank you for the things that you've given David to give to us and to share with the church today. We just praise you for the work that you're doing within us. And we just thank you for the blessing that you are in our lives and the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just give us grace to walk continually in your presence. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that only you could produce that within us. And we thank you for it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. All right, Malcolm.
Yes, Pat, I'd like to pray along lines what you were praying. Lord, I just I thank you for the process that you're dotting every I and crossing every T as far as getting President Trump back into office, the person you've chosen. And Lord, in your time, we're asking that President Trump be completely born again and also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to operate in those gifts. But in your time, Lord, we know that you have your vessels. You use them in different states they're in. Lord, I just pray that in your time you'll do these things as you've we've gotten indications that this is what your plan is, but we're just coming against that spirit of pride that we've all noticed, and also this because of this dream. So we cast that down in Jesus' name. That's null and void. That spirit will be, Lord, we pray it will be taken out at the right time as well. But I'm also praying for his entire family, Melina, Baron, and all the different family members. I'm praying also that they will also become completely sold out to you when that time comes that's in your plan. Oh, Lord, let them all partake in what you have for them. And I think of that dream of President Trump pulling a great big cross up on top of the Capitol building. Lord, let it be. And let him get that cross up to the top of the Capitol building. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Help us during this time right now to hold to you. And thank you so much for the words that you've given to Timothy Dixon and others about what's going on right now, and a little bit about our future. But Lord, I pray that in all this stuff that happens, that we seek your face with everything in us, and that you'll help us to respond to people that we run into, and to help them as well. So I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Lord, we need the anointing of the man child. We need that wisdom. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Along with the wherewithal to get this kingdom going. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Isaac. That was quick, wasn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it was. I'm surprised you're able to see that hand raised.
Okay. I got eyes like a hawk, man.
Eagle eyes. Well, I just wanted to ask you guys to pray with us. Basically, what it is, I was wanting to pray. Y'all have to pray about my children. You know, we've all been there, but they get to fussing and fighting about toys and stuff and not sharing. And the reason I asked for prayers is because when I was a kid, a lot of people know me and my brother. We all hung around the same people. Me and my brother, we're not too far different in age, but they always said there was a curse in the family. My dad and his brother just didn't like each other. And then they said the same thing about me and my brother. And, you know, I'm not here to defend myself or cast blame, but I do want to say, because I could tell you, I could probably be blamed for plenty, but I do want to say, one, cast that down, and we're on good terms now, so don't get me wrong, we are, but I want to also cast that down that it doesn't go on my children, because when I see them fighting about, and it's literally every little toy, and sometimes I find myself getting frustrated, and, you know, I got great children, but I still get frustrated, and anyways, so I guess what I'm asking is, cast that curse down, that it doesn't have any place in my family, nor me and my brother, and then two, I'd not be frustrated, you know, when these things happen, which we'll believe they won't happen anymore. But yeah, if you wouldn't mind, Michael or whoever, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. And I agree already. Michael, I appreciate you. I'm already agreeing, but your mute's on.
Well, I'm sorry. You just missed it, buddy. No, it's all I was saying was you've already prayed it, and I'm just going to hook my faith up with yours. Bless God, and that curse is broken. And anybody that tries to curse it again and bring it up again is cast down as null and void in the name of Jesus. And Isaac and his brother's going to get along great from this point on in Jesus' name, and anybody else in the family. And it's all going to be a lovely, loving family in Jesus' name. And even Geneva's going to get in there and be okay with everybody too in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it. Everybody else said, amen. It's done. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. What's your brother's name?
Nathan.
All right, Nathan, you come on in, brother. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
We headed over to Sandpoint this weekend, and a lot of stuff happened, kind of like lickety-split. Met some folks that were insisting that we had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And if those words weren't spoken over our baptism during the time we were baptized, then we need to do it again, and preferably with them, doing the baptizing. I don't know. I mean, facetious. But anyway, so that happened, had a great discussion with one of the people. And then we ran into some Messianic folks, and turned out we knew some of them quite well. And then after that, we went into downtown Sandpoint, and here was a full-fledged baptism going on in a livestock watering trough. And they must have been, 10, 15, maybe 20 people were being baptized. Kind of like if you look at the videos of Torben, it was kind of like that, except they were saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But anyway, I was just, you could tell the folks that truly repented. There were a lot of tears, and it was just pretty exciting for me to see with my relatives there, who were also excited about it, even though not everybody was on the same page. But it was still neat. I think we were all kind of encouraged, and we all felt like the Lord was just guiding us around this weekend. On the way home, we ran into somebody that had their thumb out pretty close to our place. And my wife was driving, so I suggested we stop and see. I said, it looked like they were crying. Well, it turned out they were just sobbing their heart out. They'd just been robbed and their car was taken along with the car keys and the purse and everything else. And this poor lady was just crying her heart out. So we were able to get her into downtown in Chelyam. Anyway, I was just pretty happy about, the fact that my wife did that and the way the Lord worked that all out, because had I been by myself, that would have been a little bit awkward for me to kind of help in that situation. But so anyway, it just seemed to me the Lord had worked that out as well. But I'd like to pray for Stephanie, this lady. Lord, the terrible heartbreak she's going through right now, and just sounds like a lot of suffering going on in her life and a lot of the folks in her family as well. And Lord, I'm just praying, Lord, for the revival you've talked about here, that you will grant mercy and grace to these people that have been so harmed for so long. Lord, you know their blood is crying out from the earth to you, from even back in the days of the Potomac, when all that massacre happened, and just been a lot of things happening. Lord, we know that you're behind the things and what happens. And Lord, that you also, you're a just God and you're a merciful God. And so I just pray, Lord, that on these reservations, that you will do as you've promised in the different dreams and what things you've revealed to us, that you will just wreak havoc with the kingdom of darkness on these reservations. And I just thank you that you will reveal yourself as you do to all so many different people in a way that they can understand and they can appreciate. And I'm just looking forward to this great revival on the scale of what happened on the island of Lewis. And even more, Lord, even more, just on a huge scale. And Lord, we all want to be part of this. I'm praying that you will help us to cut off all the garbage that doesn't matter to your kingdom, and that we seek you with everything we have. And praying you put that in us. You put it down deep in our hearts, Lord, that we could only seek you. I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name.
back to net control.
All right. Lord, we thank you for hearing his prayer. We agree with him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Missy.
Well, I just wanted to tell a little something about what's going on around here. In Pennsylvania, as of yesterday, they dropped all the COVID stuff except for masks. Okay. You know, restaurants can be full capacity and no social distancing, and but you got to wear masks. Well, I made a run to the grocery store yesterday.
Praise
God. I was thinking, got to eat. And I was wondering, I was just kind of wondering what the mask situation was going to be. Because, when was it, Saturday, Merle Alex and I went out to eat. And there were a lot of people that were going into the restaurant that didn't have masks on. And, you know, we had our masks on when we went and we had to wait, you know. And there's quite a few people that didn't have their masks on. So I was like, they're not wearing a mask. I ain't. So I took mine off. Because usually how it goes, you can have it off once you sit down at the table. So anyway, and Merle pulled his down too. And but anyway, when I went to the grocery store, I saw two guys about ready to enter, and it looked like they weren't gonna have masks on. And I went up to the door and I was looking at the door, just looked everywhere to see if there's any sign about masks. There was not one sign about masks. So I didn't put my mask on. And I bet at least 50% of the, about 50% of the people, not including the employees, but people in there shopping, didn't have a mask on. I'm like, you go, people. So obviously I didn't put mine on either. So I think a lot of people are just going to be ignoring it, the whole mask thing. You know, everybody's just so tired of it. And so.
Here in Tennessee, the minority are the ones that wear masks. Go ahead, Missy.
Yep. No, you know, it's just, I thank you, Lord. But Lord, about the whole shot thing, Lord, I believe, Lord, I haven't heard, I've not known anybody personally yet that has gotten the shot and had like major adverse effects, like permanent effects that I know of. And Lord, I'm believing it's because of my prayers. Even people that I know, Lord, that I'm believing, you know, that are your elect, that even though I don't know whether or not they got the shot or not, Lord, I'm believing for your protection upon your elect. And I believe that you are honoring all our prayers, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Because so many people have done it out of pure ignorance, Lord, just not understanding. And Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to open everybody's eyes up to it, Lord. And the truth about it before too long. And they're going to realize, Lord, that the only vaccine is your vaccine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The thought just came to my mind that I've been vaccinated probably 22, 23 years ago. Praise God. That's right. Maybe some of y'all have too. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I was just going to say, because I'm in Pennsylvania as well, and I think it was a couple of weeks ago when the CDC changed the rules that the stores in our area basically said, you if you have been vaccinated, you have to wear masks unless you've been vaccinated. And it was at that time that I said, well, just what Michael said, well, I've been vaccinated already with the PSA 91.3. So my wife went to the store with me the other day and she was wearing a mask. I said, well, no, I don't have to wear a mask. I've already been vaccinated with the Psalm 91. And as we got to talking, I realized, you know, Psalm 91 is the only vaccination that really works. That's guaranteed to work. And just because society is deceived doesn't mean I have to live that way. And I just kind of rested in that very fact, and I haven't been wearing a mask since then because of that, other than at my work, because everybody's still wearing a mask there, you know. So whatever. But anyway, yeah, we've all been vaccinated. So with the only one that works. So praise the Lord.
Actually, there's a number of vaccinations that we can have. You know, there's the MK-1123 one. And then there's the PS-91. You've already mentioned that one. Then there's a JN-1414. And then, you know, there's a number of them that we've taken already. Praise God. We're vaccinated. Thanks for bringing that up, Pat. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I guess I have a lot to share because of this weekend. One thing we noticed, which is a huge contrast to where we are, and that is as we got out of the car there in Sandpoint, nobody's wearing a mask anywhere in sight. Eventually, during the weekend, we did run into some folks that had masks on, and it's almost like you could tell who was out of town, and it was from maybe the far western side of the state, so, you know, the part that's about to fall off, so into the ocean. So... But anyway, it was quite a contrast. And then we came back to Eastern Washington, and then the masks started showing up all over the place, and all the rules and everything. But there was one place I saw in Sandpoint that had a sign that you couldn't enter without a mask, and they had all these, you know, all this stuff in there that to help you get cleaned up and purified for their association with whoever's in that the building. But anyway, that was not the norm. It was quite a relief. But now we're back in under whatever influence is provided for us here in the state of Washington. There's a number of folks I'd like to pray for, except most of you don't know, I mean, probably none of you know them, so I don't want to waste people's time by praying for some folks. I do have a lot of do you mind if I go through some names real quick, Michael, and just pray for them?
Go ahead.
First, this lady that I talked to named Maria, who was clearly baptized in the Holy Spirit. Actually, she was a former witch and a pagan, and a couple years ago came to the Lord, and was the Lord gave her some amazing dreams. She was... because of her life, she was wearing all black. And she had a dream where the Lord told her, she said, you would look really good with some color. And so she took that, you know, and got rid of the black garb. And some other very gracious dreams that she related to me. But she and her husband and some other folks there, kind of a ministry thing they're involved in, as far as I can tell, are very heavily, very factious, and trying to separate and divide. So, Lord, I just pray for these people, Maria and her husband, David. I just pray that they'll be set free from this faction, this factious situation, divisive spirit. Lord, I just pray that they'll be set free and that the graciousness that you have shown to Maria that she'll extend to others and her husband as well. And Lord, let them be free, Lord. Just we come against this faction in them, which we know is about to be dealt with, that you're about to deal with. And I just pray that they'll be free of this and they'll be free in you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I just speak this liberty upon them in Jesus' name. And then also Andy. I pray for Andy, who's had a lot of trouble in his life. Phenomenal cellist. And Lord, I pray that he'd be set free from the stuff that's caused so much hurt, Lord, and for some people. And I just pray that that will be reconciled and that he'll just be set free from the stuff that he's involved in right now. But just not that. I feel like he's got demons, Lord, and I just want to see him free from all those demons, Lord. I bind them all right now, and I rebuke them, Lord, and I send out light. Send your light and your truth. Let them lead Andy. Let them bring him to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. In Psalms 43. So I also pray for his new wife, that she'll come along as well, and that perhaps she can help him. And maybe she is, and I just pray for freedom for her. Anyway, I think that's it. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. Okay, Sunil, I'm going to ask you, Sunil, to get up close to the microphone so we can hear you, brother. Praise God. Go ahead, brother.
I would like to seek prayers for your neighbors because okay. They're setting up cherry here, and unlike you guys, there is no man in the wings that we can hope for.
Okay, you want us to pray for your neighbor?
No, your neighbors.
Oh, my neighbors.
The countries.
Ah, okay. I got you. I started to say, I didn't know you knew my neighbors. They need prayer.
The guys, praise God.
Yeah, amen. Let's do that. Well, Lord, we just lift up Canada and Mexico to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for transitioning out of that deep state government into one that is more attuned, in tune with the people itself. And we praise you, Father, for doing that to bring about a good government that looks after the people. And we praise you for doing that, Father, and getting rid of the people up there that are up there now that are looking out for themselves and not the people. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning house in Canada and Mexico and the United States and across the world, actually, in Jesus' name, bringing down the deep state and bringing forward your people, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And even in India and Nepal, Father, we ask that you bring in good government in both of those countries and all over Europe and Asia and Eurasia. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. In Africa, all the continents of the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we believe it's being done even as we speak. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that we're hearing reports that you're even cleaning house in communist Russia, communist China. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Set those people free over there, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'm just going to offer up a little prayer for my wife's side of the family. Her, what would it be, her cousin. Her cousin and her cousin's husband were in a motorcycle accident this weekend. They were, they're doing fairly well financially. So they kind of live life a little full. So they had their Harley and I went out for a ride on their Harley. We got about a mile away from the house and they were headed straight down the road. Well, a lady was in the left-hand turn lane and she decided to turn in front of them. So they smacked the car head on and right on the side. And they got both got pretty broken up. No organs were injured, but there were a lot of fractures, and I guess his pelvis area is just crushed in a lot of places, and it's going to be like 6 months before he's well. And they're doing all this, you know, bringing specialists in and pinning them all back together. So this probably the Lord's getting their attention maybe a little bit here, I would think, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, it's just I'll bring this up in prayer. So, Father, this accident, laid them both up in the hospital. And they're going to be there for a little while they get put back together. And so, Lord, I ask that you use this time to work on their hearts if they need to get close to you, or if that's something from you, or if it's just a freak accident, they still would draw close to you, Lord. And we pray for their quick healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray healing over their bones or broken bones or, you know, ribs and hands and everything else that got broken up, femurs, everything else that got broken. Thank you, Father, for granting them their lives. Neither one were killed in this accident, but they did get banged up. So, Father, thank you for your grace in that. And we continue to look forward to the good report from both of them. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for bringing them close to you so you can have the time to do that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for getting their attention. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. Michael?
Yeah, what?
I met a lady at Walmart. Her name is Devin.
Well, praise God.
And we got to talking and stuff, and I got to speak to her about some things about how we can believe that the Lord will help us. And you know, she told me she was a believer and she had the Lord with her, but she was telling me how she had a rough time and how she ended up having an accident a few days back. And she ended up with, she knows the Lord was with her because all she got from the accident, her car was kind of a mess, but she said all she got was a broken wrist and some bruises and stuff. And so I ended up praying for her wrist, you know, that she would not have any more pain, and that when they take that cast or whatever was on her arm, when they take it off, they'll see that she has no broken bones anymore, that she's healed. And she was also telling me of some of the situations that she's dealt with. And I just pray, Father, that you would reveal to her, Father, she doesn't know why it happened and everything. And I said, Lord, I pray that you would, whatever you want to show her as to why that happened. Like maybe it's a wake up call for her. I don't know. But Lord, I just pray that you will, I lift her up to you and pray that you will just deliver her from any fears, deliver her from any, not only bring that healing like I asked, but, and that you would get the glory and honor, and that any fears that she's dealt with, any past generational curses, I know we had some common things that happened in the past. We talked a little bit about that. And so, Lord, I pray that you deliver her from any generational curses or any kind of condemnation or rejection or anything. Lord, just deliver from those things and just draw her closer to you and help her to see more of you that you want her to see, and deliver her from any evil work, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Michael, I'd like to pray for Tracy, you know, that gets on our call once in a while in the evening when she's at work. Well, she had an operation today, Lord. I just lift Tracy up to you, and that this operation went fine. I haven't heard anything yet. And she is going to have some chemotherapy for 5 weeks, they say. Well, Lord, we just pray that she's healed in the name of Jesus, and she doesn't have to go through this chemotherapy and all that stuff. And we thank you, Lord, for healing her. And we give you all the praise.
Yes. Thank you, Father, for infusing Tracy with faith in the name of Jesus, and bold faith to believe that you will do this thing for her. We praise you, Father. And Lord, I just ask for a solid miracle for Tracy. I ask, Father, that you use our faith, you utilize our faith. You've done that before, and we ask that you do it for Tracy also. She suffered a lot here in the last many months, and we just praise you, Father, for lifting her up off that bed of affliction and being whole again. And we praise you, Father, she will know that it's you, Lord, and she'll give you the glory. I know she will. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for Tracy. In Jesus' mighty name, that it would be a testimony to her, her family, and her kids. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to also pray for the brother from India. I wasn't sure what he was saying either. I thought he was saying laborers, but anyway, I felt drawn to pray about it. I just pray, Father, that you would send forth laborers into the harvest, Lord, as your word says, that you would bring forth laborers to reach all the countries, that your people would rise up in each country and be those laborers to be a witness to those that are in need, just as Jesus and the disciples were witnesses to those that were in need, that your prayers will go forth and your healing will go forth and your deliverance will go forth, that all the people need, that you would bring your people to reach out to those that have those situations, those problems, that you can deliver them, that you want to deliver them from. And I thank you for those labors. I'll go forth and bring your gospel and deliver many, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In every country.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yes, Barbara, it is. Okay, Malcolm. All right, brother, go ahead.
Myself.
Yes, you did.
I muted myself before even asking permission.
You go ahead.
So rude. Am I there? Can you hear me?
Everybody can hear you. The world can hear you.
Oh,
go ahead.
Everybody on the recording, hello, all the different agencies around the world.
Malcolm.
Thanks for listening in.
Get to it. Oh, did you not mean to do that, Malcolm?
Oh, good. I got myself. I was just checking. I guess I was unmuted.
Okay.
So what I want to do, I wanted to pray specifically. It almost seems arrogant to pray this, but I just want to pray for different countries all around the world, that your people will get, you'll give them dreams and visions, revelations, words of knowledge, whatever way you communicate with them, so that they will have a sense of what's that there is relief coming. And I suspect you've already been doing this for quite some time, just like the people in our neck of the woods that we're hearing. But Lord, not everybody has access to the internet or can get and can understand all languages. Lord, I know that you're going to do this. So I just pray, Lord, that we come against any spirits that would block the work of your spirit in these countries to bring revelations and dreams and visions, words of knowledge, that people would be encouraged and know that how to behave before you. These are for you, your people, your elect. Actually, whether they're manifestly Christians right now or not, Lord, I just pray that you will send your guidance to these folks. And I just thank you for doing that. And you're taking care of your people that we have no communication with. There's no idea of what's going on, but we trust you that you will take care of our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Yes, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Now then, did anyone have a question about anything that we talked about last week? What are you doing, Missy? You waving? Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I thought I saw you waving doing one of these numbers. But anyway, did anyone have any questions about last week when we were talking in hidden?
Let's mute.
Malcolm.
What did you talk about?
Well, I'm fixing to tell you.
No. What happened, honey?
Hang on, I'll tell you if I can think about it. We talked last week on hidden manna, and somebody helped me here. I forget what it was, but I think it was on the man-child ministry. And we also talked about tribulation, rapture, and things of that nature. So the floor actually is open on any questions about the hidden manna that David's book addresses, the whole 7 years of tribulation. And I thought if nobody had any real questions that they wanted to do, we'd talk about the covenant. No, we didn't cover everything. I know, David. It'd take us a year and a half to cover everything. But yeah,
I had a question.
Okay. I'll do it this way. Is there any questions about when the rapture occurs? We all know it starts at the beginning of tribulation, don't we? Okay, go ahead, Jim. I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek now, of course.
My eye. Yeah. Okay. I have a question regarding tribulation.
Yes, ma'am.
What I find difficult to understand is with President Trump coming back as a noticeable president, why would it be that supposedly just a few months later, we would be undergoing tribulation? I would have thought the Lord would give us more time to rejoice in the fact that we would have a man leading our country in the right way.
That's a good question. And the answer is that from the dreams and the visions that we've had and the parallel stories in the Word of God, is that when the dreams that we've had is that Trump would give us relief from persecution the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. He'd give us the relief from the deep state and all of them persecuting the Christians for the first 3.5 years. And then the next 3.5 years, of course, you know what happens. That's the great tribulation where all of that happened. But he wants to get all the people in from the Gentiles that it can, and that's how he's going to do it. He's going to utilize Trump and his policies that are for the Christian community to keep the dogs at bay, so to speak. Yeah, Angelica's right. The deep state were ready to overtake us when Hillary was running for office. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to shut us down. But how many of you know that it doesn't make any difference who's up there? They can't shut God's people down. They can move us, but they can't shut us down. Did that answer your question, June? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Sunil.
I just would like to know how does Joel 2, chapter 2 fit into the tribulation?
Which one?
Joel chapter 2.
All right, anybody want to take that? Joel chapter 2, he says, how does that fit into tribulation?
Sunil, you said John chapter 2?
J-O-E-L.
Joel chapter 2. Yeah. And what verses?
Maybe close to 20. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right, anybody want to tackle that?
So now what exactly did you want to understand about that? What were your question, like the timing of that?
Yeah, where does that figure in tribulation or timeline?
Well, we can read it. Well, it's talking about the day of the Lord on verse 1. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the dawn spread upon the mountains of great people and strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Did you say chapter 2, verse 20? Is that what you said? But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive it into a land barren and dusty, its forepart into the eastern sea and its final part into the western sea, and its stench shall come up and its ill savor shall come up because it hath done great things. Anybody got any leading on that? I like 23, actually. Let's jump on that, and then we'll talk. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Who's the children of Zion? That's the bride, isn't it? Yes, Lord, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he gives you the former rain in just measure. That's the anointing upon the bride. And the man-child, I might say, in full measure. In just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month before the man child and the bride go into the wilderness is when the anointing is. Just before that starts the tribulation. During that first part, that doesn't start it, but that's the first part of it. That's when the man child and the bride get anointed right before they go into tribulation. The bride has the former rain coming down in full measure. And the man child also has the full of the former and the latter rain. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. Fixing to see that in the bride and the man child.
Yeah, looking at it from 26 to 28, you see that, you know, they are eating in plenty even before the pouring or outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of.
Yeah, Julie.
I think those verses there, Sunil, I think that that's going to happen throughout the whole time of the tribulation, from the time that we have the former rain now, and I know that Lord is giving, pouring out his spirit upon those who are seeking God right now. He's pouring out his spirit, and they have dreams and they have visions, and he has shown us some wonders in the heavens already, different things. We've seen signs in the heavens as that it's close. But I think these scriptures here are going to be during the whole 7 years of the tribulation, as people come into the kingdom, and he's going to continue to pour out his spirit. He's going to continue to give us signs and visions and dreams and signs in the heaven and the blood. The blood, the fire, the pillars of smoke, and different things. That's all symbolic. And the great terrible day of the Lord cometh. This is all happening before the great terrible day of the Lord. And all these things shall come to pass. These things are going to happen. But the great and terrible day of the Lord is at the end.
So I would like to believe that, but you know, what it says here is that, you know, he has given you the former and latter rain moderately. And then he says the floors shall be full of wheat and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. So it doesn't seem to look like it's tribulation.
Really quickly, are you referring to verse 25, 26, 27, 23, 24, I guess?
Yeah.
From what I can remember on some of the teachings that I've listened to David, I think that this is talking about, especially 25 and 26, about, you know, the word of God that has been hidden because of the Saul ministries. They don't have the pure word of God. So this is a spiritual, you know, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders in you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am, you know, I am in Israel, and that I am the Lord your God. So I think this is, you know, this is what's talking about is that the true word of God, the pure bread of God, the oil, you know, the anointing comes on the true word of God that, you know, through the man-child ministries, when God, you know, removes the Saul ministries, that these things are going to be happening spiritually.
Amen. I agree with that. Amen. That clears things up a little bit, Sunil?
Yeah, it makes some sense, but where is the Saul ministry here mentioned? Is it referring to this here?
The Saul ministries are the ministries that exist now. They're the harlot apostate church, the harlot church. These are the Sauls are the leadership that are in apostasy. They have changed the word of God. They're not doing things according to the word of God. So this is why they're, you know, the locusts have eaten, their land, basically their spiritual land, you know, the people, you know. So that's why God is restoring those things that the locusts have eaten, and, you know, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, and that kind of thing, because these people have changed the word of God, and there's no power to it. So when the Saul ministries are judged, because judgment begins in the house of God, I believe that God's going to be removing these people out of the position of power that they're in, and anointing the man child with the true word of God, and those that, you know, many will fall away, but also many will come in.
Amen. That's true. Matter of fact, that's fixing to start if it hadn't already. Well, it's already started.
So this is happening before the tribulation?
It's starting right now, yes.
It's happening now. If you pay attention to any kind of news or anything, you know, pay attention to the bigger ministries. They're, you know, these are, you know, what the Bible would refer to as a false teacher, a false prophet. you know, with false doctrine, you know, God is going to be removing them and making a way for the man child, you know, the Davids, to take their position on the throne.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. He says that the, you know, the judgment shall begin at the house of God. That ties in with that. Yeah, thanks for the clarification. Though it doesn't, you know, give me a very good picture, it gives me an idea as to what to think of, you know, like. Thanks.
Chanel, have you read David's book called Hidden Manna on the side? Hidden Manna?
I did read a long time ago.
Yeah, me too. It was a long time ago.
You can always send your questions in to the, you know, to David, or, yeah, you know, and when he gets to it, he can, you know, send that in, or, you know, Michael, and more privately. That way we know exactly what you're asking.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Well, my question, and this is, like, we just render this into the...
Can't hardly hear you.
I do beg your pardon. Is that better?
That's a lot better. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, forgot about that. The microphone was a bit away. Yeah, look, the question is basically academic, because I was thinking about this, and I watched and listened to the whole series of Hidden Manna this past week, I suppose, and I've got to go over it again, obviously. But working out, okay, so, you know, after 7 years, you know, the trumpets strike up, and at the end, they, you know, the angels strike up. This is how I imagine it, right? The theme from Hawaii 5-0, Jesus comes surfing in on the cloud, says, "All my men follow me," and we, you know, the dead in Christ rise, and those who are left alive follow. He breathes on the armies at the Valley of Megiddo, and then there's a 1,000-year reign. Have I got that right? Roughly? I'm not sure about the Hawaii 5-0 thing. But here's the question, right? There will be some who will make it all the way through. And let's just say, for example, that's Isaac and Mariana, for example, right? A married couple. And there could be another couple who you know, got beheaded, but, you know, they're raised up, etc., etc. In that 1,000-year reign, are they going to continue to be husband and wife and have children, or?
No, that's not the way it's going to happen. The way it's going to happen is the dead in Christ are after the first fruit. Who was the first fruit? That was Jesus. At the end of tribulation plus 40 days, the dead in Christ will rise.
Yep.
And the people that are alive will rise and meet them in the air. That's at the end of tribulation. Then the millennial reign. Those people, none of those people, there's only two more dead in Christ resurrections. And that's at the judgment seat of Christ, and the other one is the white throne judgment. And the white throne judgment is the judgment of the wicked. That's the very last resurrection. And that very last resurrection is when all the ones that are come against Christ, everybody that makes it to the millennial reign at the end will turn against Christ. That's the way that works. I know I had a lot of trouble with that until I sat down to talk with David. And he showed me, you know, that there's only two more resurrections, only two more. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe it's in, I can't remember what verse it is, but anyway, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it talks about the first fruits. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I get that. What my question really was, I'll crunch it down. During the millennial reign, are people going to be living much the same as they live now?
No, they'll be under a theocracy.
Well, they'll yeah, sorry, I appreciate
total theocracy. Yeah.
But would people, you know, like have lifespans? Will they marry, be given in marriage, you know, having children, all that sort of stuff?
Could I yeah, answer that question? They're going to be having children. Now, as far as the lifespan, I don't know how that's going to operate. I don't know if they'll have a long, they're going to live the whole 1,000 years and multiply that. Well, just think about it. In 1,000 years, that'd be a bunch of folks, wouldn't it?
It would be.
If they all live that long. So I'm not sure about that.
I think Sunil had something to say.
Yeah, Sunil, go ahead.
Greg, if we will just look at it from a different angle or an aspect, maybe we could come to the right answer. That is to the verse that says, you know, those who are in the first resurrection will not have a second death. So they are actually seeming to receive the transfigured body, wherein they can be in the physical as well as in the spiritual. So, and since they don't die, they don't need to, there is no need for them to reproduce, and hence they will not marry and given marriage, whereas the people who were made it past the tribulation will continue in their earthly bodies, and them the Lord will rule with the scepter of iron, and they will still have the earthly life.
Correct.
Is what I understand.
Yes, correct. The natural people that make it through tribulation, not the ones that are raptured out of here. It's the natural people that are going to be in tribulation. Oh, was that great? Right.
What did I do? What did I do? Nothing. Anyway, nothing. The idea is to make it there, you know, one way or another.
The idea is to make it there.
Yeah, that actually is found in Zechariah. Seven 14 or something like that.
I wanted to quickly mention a couple of scriptures if I can. Yeah. I think what you're asking, I'm sure he has the answer now, but 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, meaning we put on our new bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's Mark 12:25, when the dead raise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Instead, they will be like the angels in heaven, right? So, and then there's, you know, there's bodies terrestrial, bodies celestial. And so, you know, I don't think they're either male or female. So I think that probably they'll cease to be husband and wife, although they may be, as stated in one of a brother's testimonies, that, and they may be companions in heaven, but, you know, not married, because there's no need for procreation.
No, but there will be. You'll have a companion in heaven if you want one, someone to talk to. According to Odin Hedrick, just saying, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah, Julie.
Just to clarify, Greg, you're talking about the people who will be going through the millennium on earth, that they were not yet resurrected at the time of the resurrection of the righteous dead.
Yeah.
Marrying, giving and marrying?
And it's having an academic question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. I'm sorry. I thought he was talking about Mariana and
I was just picking a couple for an example.
Okay, I was thinking you meant the people that belong to the Lord. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, sorry, Isaac and Mariana, I didn't mean to put you in the... Carry on, please.
Yes, little flesh kettle there, Isaac. right. Go ahead, Sue or Judy, or I'll get right to you, Pat. I don't know who was first, so I'm just going at it.
Okay, I have a question. Okay, the people that are going through the millennium that are not the Christians, they're just the regular people that were left over, you know, that are going to go through that. Are they going to last 1,000 years, or they don't have kids, or just all those people going to last 1,000 years? Or I'm not sure I understand.
No, they're going to look. They're natural people. They're fleshly people. They're lusty, okay, fleshly people.
And but so, they don't have babies.
No, it's I didn't so say that. Hang on just a second. I tried to tell you. They're going to be just like they was before. Okay. They're going to have kids. They're going to multiply. But they're going to be under, if you remember, the Lord said that those that were raptured are going to come back and judge the people, or are going to rule the people with a rod of iron. They're going to be under a theocracy. They're going to have to do what God says. And they're going to do that for 1,000 years. Now, think about this. You're living under Christ's rule. Now, some of you say, well, what is the purpose of the millennial reign? Well, the purpose is to show us the darkness of the heart, even after living with Christ on earth 1,000 years and with God's people ruling. When Satan's turned loose again, they're going to go against God's people, because Satan's going to convince them that they can come up against God. And every one of them to the T is going to come against God. Does that make sense?
But the people in the beginning aren't going to be the people in the end. It'll be their kids in the end of the millennium.
Probably not.
Judy, yes, but maybe. I don't know.
It really doesn't sell in the word that I can tell.
Michael, isn't there a place in Revelation where it talks about the people that want the bad people, the ones that aren't Christ? Isn't there a place where they want to die? You know, they're being tortured, but they want to die and they're not able to die.
That's during the tribulation.
Would those be the ones that are still left and be in the 1,000-year reign?
I don't know. I don't think David even addresses that. Yeah, Missy.
Judy, are you asking if people that still have their physical bodies, their fleshly bodies, you know, that are they going to die? Well, if they have fleshly bodies, they're going to die. So they're going to be, people are going to be living, being born, they're going to be dying, they're going to be born and dying. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Possibly. Now, that's not set in stone. Possibly. That answer your question, Judy?
Yes, but Sue still kind of has a thing. What you want to say?
Well, with this DNA change, I just don't know how that could happen. If the DNA is getting rid of them not being able to have babies, how can they? There's so many questions.
Thing that I would remind everybody here: don't worry about the millennial reign when you want to be raptured out of here. I don't have any after I'm out of here. Y'all can do whatever you want to. I'm going home.
Amen.
Bless God. I'm going home, and I'm going home to see Jesus.
Is that before the tribulation or after?
I'm going after the tribulation. I'm going to go through there. I want to see God's miracles. I want to see the signs and wonders that he does through the bride and the man child. I want to see all of that. Because it's going to be awesome.
Don't you want to walk on the ashes? Don't you want to walk on the ashes of the son of perdition?
Walk on the ashes of who?
Of the son of perdition.
I want to be in that 40 days of watching the recompense of the wicked, which is right before the tribulation. I mean, right before the rapture. I'm sorry. I'm getting, but there's 40 days after tribulation that there's going to be the remnant that's left, the bride. We're going to be able to see and watch the recompense of the wicked. So now, if that's what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Okay. Busier than the returns. Boxing Day. What does that mean? The Rapture Inquiry counter will be busy. Busier than the returns counter on Boxing Day. I don't even know what a Boxing Day is. That must be a
Boxing Day is the day after Christmas when everyone takes the presents back to the shop and say, can I get a refund for this?
Oh, yeah. I thought that might be what it might be, but I wasn't real sure. Okay. Yeah. Amen. You won't have to worry about that up in heaven. So praise God. All right, Pat, we finally get to you. What is your question?
Well, I'm not sure I have a question. I do have a bit of a question, and that is, I know that we can be pretty emphatic on timing. I guess I've learned maybe to place these timing things in not an unbelief, but a holding pattern up there in my mind.
The timing of what we're talking about. What time?
Well, I'm talking about the timing of the tribulation and the 7 years, okay, etc. Simply because there's a couple things that I haven't personally put them together in my mind yet, and that is there is a work that God is doing in the church in the same pattern that he did in Israel, or in the Old Covenant church, basically. And there's a pattern that he is fulfilling in type in the church, in that he is bringing about the end of that that church reign, shall we say, and reestablishing his holy reset, what I would call it, and transit and chain and reestablishing the leadership in that church, in the church, basically. And so bringing about a bit of a resurrection of the church, having gone through 2,000 years of a death and a destruction and a deterioration and a creating of a religion that is far from God's religion. And now he is bringing it back into alignment with the reality of the truth. And that's happening in the church, the New Covenant church. But there's also something that after he gets through that process, he then turns to Israel, the Old Covenant church, so to speak, and does a number on them as well. And I guess the the question that I have in my mind is that 7 years of tribulation was always referred to as Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament, etc. I think it was referred to it. I don't know if it's referred that way in the New Covenant writings, but that is the thing that I don't really have gelled in my mind right yet as to. I know that there is a restoration of the New Covenant church, new leadership church, but there's also something that happens over here with the after that process that happens with the Old Covenant church. And that's kind of the way that part of the apostles went to they started teaching the church and, you know, going in and trying to convert the Jews of that time, and many of course were converted. But then there was a point in time where Paul, the Holy Spirit, sent Paul to the Gentiles and blew that whole thing wide open, and then left not abandoned but reprobated the Jews in the land where they were at there. So there's that timing sequence that I'm not really gelled on in my mind as to the sequence of events. And for me, I'm not really set in stone at that when Trump comes back into the office, that's the beginning of the tribulation. That hasn't gelled with me right at this point.
I don't think anyone said that Trump's going to bring the tribulation in. That's not what brings the tribulation in, Pat. What brings the tribulation in is the covenant of many. That's what brings the tribulation in.
Are you thinking that this Jasera and Nasera thing is the covenant with many?
No, the covenant of many is when the apostate church and the world, the beast kingdom, come together in a covenant. Just like they did with Constantine, it's going to be the same type of deal. Somebody already put it up there. What was that? United World Religion or something like that. One World United Religion. Yeah. That's what the covenant is. That's what brings in. When they sign, all of them sign that, that's when it's going to be ours. That's when it's going to start right there. And I don't believe anyone will know when it started, but the bride and the man-child, when it actually starts. We'll see, but I think that's what's going to happen. I believe that's what David teaches also. Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead. I just want to clarify that.
Trump is not what brings it in.
He's just going to be a part of the pawn that God uses to keep the wolves at bay, you see, for 3.5 years.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that clicks for sure. For what purpose would be to bring forth the bride? Is that what it would be, to bring forth the bride through that wilderness process, or the training of the bride?
What are you talking about? Let me just clarify something. The man child ministry and the bride will be anointed before tribulation, right before tribulation. The man child will then bring the bride into the wilderness. Okay. He brings them in. He's teaching them to be disciples. To be disciples, to be ready for the influx of the revival that's fixing to happen during that time. And the people are going to come out of the apostate, the Saul ministry. Somebody mentioned it earlier. They're going to come out of those Saul ministries because of what's happening around them. That's the timing of the man child and bride and tribulation and the covenant. Before the covenant is signed, the man child and the bride will be anointed with the former and the latter rain. Then the man child will bring them into the wilderness. That's when the covenant is signed. And it's all going to be pretty much, you know, the same. Yeah.
And then you would consider that the beginning of the tribulation, correct?
The signing of the, yes, the covenant.
So the man child being anointed and the bride has to happen prior to that time.
Yeah,
going
because
into
the man child leaves the bride in. Yeah.
Okay.
If I may, brother, I believe that it's the type is, you know, Jesus and the disciples. You know, they were trained. You know they were trained. They have already gone through their wilderness experience, as we all have. Are, you know, by faith we believe ourselves to be the bride, and so when that anointing comes, God will have closed the door to those whom He's going to choose to be in the bride. And at that point, you know, Trump is in there because the little sister that's coming in that we are to train up in the wilderness needs her time to be trained in relative peace so that they can war and fight for during their tribulation. Not to say that there won't be, microcosms of tribulation everywhere, but, you know, because they haven't gone through their tribulation. And so that's the type in the shadow that has to be fulfilled.
Yeah, I can understand that. Again, I have to go back to my previous statement. I'm not quite sure where that whole process and the timing of that process gels with the old covenant with God turning back to the Jews and that time there. So, and that's, I guess that's kind of, that's just one of those things that's hanging out here that I'm still thinking about, you know, trying to put the pieces together, so to speak. But anyway, I'll get off.
The timing of the Gentiles versus the Jews is at the mid-tribulation. That's when God shuts the door to the Gentiles. It'll be very hard for Gentiles to come into the kingdom at that time because of the tribulation that's going on at that particular time. And then He'll open the door for a remnant of the Jews to come into the kingdom. And at that time is when the Jews' doors will be open and God will grant repentance to all of them. Once again, you know, it'll be open to
right. That's in the middle is when the abomination of desolation, you know, the sacrifice ceases, which is the spiritual sacrifice. They're either united with the harlot, the one world religion, or they have taken the mark of the beast and the door closes there.
Yep. That's when the door closes. And here's why you can think about it, all of you, is you understand that most denominations, most churches don't believe the Bible. They have their own Jesus that they have, which doesn't believe that the gifts are in operation anymore. They don't believe that God heals, God doesn't deliver, God doesn't do this, God doesn't do that, God, you know. When in fact, the Lord said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing today. They don't understand that because they haven't taught, they haven't been taught it. Most of them are too lazy to get in the Word of God and find out what it is, you know. And that's why the tribulation is for. The tribulation is for the saints. The tribulation is to shake the system out of the saints, to bring them into the kingdom. That's what tribulation's all about. Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Pat or Andrew. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just listening to something today from YouTube from the ministry, and it was David Eels was talking about how everyone was originally born in Babylon, and that's their mother, and they're coming out of Babylon. So this is what actually adds to it, because, you know, even Abraham, his father came out of Babylon with Abraham and Lot, you know, and he made it as far as Tehran, which is the tip of Babylon there, but it's still in the Babylonian country. And you see, it was actually Abraham's father that first left. Abraham's father who first left the Chaldeans, where ancient Babylon is, and that's a type and a shadow of our walk, that we're trying to come out of this Babylon that we were born into. Everyone is kind of born into a Babylonish kind of church that's mixed with nation. And this is going to be also the same, perhaps the beginnings of the study for the Jewish people too, when they're being taught there by in the last 3.5 years on how you have to come out of this Babylon. Another type or shadow of this is when they're coming out of Egypt too. So and you know that when they were in the wilderness, it was harder for God to take the Egypt out of the people than to take them out of Egypt. So it's a type and shadow, but this is happening on the spiritual level, and this is what's been happening with hopefully all of us here, that we're coming out of this Babylonish style of thinking, because they mixed it with the state. And it's a really good I didn't finish the whole thing, but he goes into it pretty good. It's something that I downloaded off of YouTube, and it's from the site. I'll try to get the title of it, but it pertains to what we're discussing here on even what the man-child and the bride's going to do to the church during the first 3.5 years. There's going to be lots of instruction on that stuff there. I can't remember the title on that. Of the video, but you're coming out of this Babylon. You know, a lot of people think that this Babylon is the Catholic Church, but that's only, he talks about there being greater types and lesser types of this in the video. So it might be a good thing to peruse to answer some of your questions on that too. Anyway.
So if you can find out the name of it and put it in the chat if you can, Andrew. All right, go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, I was just going to mention something that Pat was talking about, how, if I understood him correctly, how he was asking about why is he coming from the Gentiles back to the Jews, if I understood that correctly. And I really feel like Lord gave me something on that, but if I'm going back, Michael, I don't have to share. Is it okay to maybe talk about that and what I think could be an answer?
For sure.
Okay. Can you hear me very well? I got this little new speaker, so I don't know.
Yeah, we can hear you good.
So I know David, I was listening to David, this was some months ago, and it was the first time I ever heard that. And he said it like, yes. And I remember exactly. He said, the... God's going to move from the Gentiles, I'm paraphrasing, God's going to move from the Gentiles to the Jews again, just how that happened in Acts, that it went from the Gentiles and into the Jews in the end of Acts, and mainly the Jews were coming in. And he said this, he said, now I heard this from my father, and I was like, well, that's, I believe that. And I was reading something one day, and man, I'm telling you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I wasn't even thinking about it. I don't even know where it comes from. But I was reading John chapter 4. And I know I've tried to say this before, but I'm telling you, man, John chapter 4, there's a parable there that I really believe explains that whole transition from the fulfillment of the Gentiles into the Jews again. You think about it geographically, it says right here. It said, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus baptized not the disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs pass through Samaria. okay? So why did he must needs to pass Samaria? Like, why did he need to do that? Well, Samaria was the Gentile land, and the Jews had no association with them. And something that's, so geographically, he went from Judea, which, and if I'm wrong, forgive me. You know, I don't want to be that guy, but I'll accept it. But Judea, to me, they were the old Israelites, right? You know, the old covenant. And then Samaria was the Gentiles. And then Galilee was the Jews again. Now, I know in Isaiah it says Galilee of the Gentiles. Well, I wanted to look that up. Of means from. Because here, when he talked to the woman, he said, for salvation is from the Jews. Now, that was from, you know, the Jews to the Gentiles. And Galilee of the Gentiles is from the Gentiles. And I'm going to tell you something. He did this when he met the woman, when he went to, so Galilee means circuit. It means revolution. That's what it means. So one revolution. And when he went to Sychar, bear with me, I'll bring this all around. When he went to Sychar, this, that's where Joseph's well was. And Joseph means he will add, remover or increaser. And I feel like the Lord showed him remover, increaser of that covenant, of bring them in or bring them in, bring the Jews back in. And he went there to 6 hours. So that's a 6,000 years. And we're almost at that point right now because they asked him to abide there. The Samaritans, they believe. And they're like, well, abide with us 2 days. That was 2,000 years because a day is 1,000 years. And I'm telling you, we're I don't know how many years we're away. We're less than 10 years away or even closer. I couldn't tell you. But we're on that 2,000 year, which would bring us to the morning of the third day, right? So we're right there. And I tell you something else. And Sychar also means the end. And that's where he went at the well. Because Jesus was like the bridegroom. You know, that's so biblical with Moses and Isaac and so many others I can't even name that met their bridegrooms at the well. And so going on to say this, where was I? So long story short is that I really think, I explained that. Kind of go off on a tangent. There's a lot going on there, even including the five husbands. Man, there's a lot. Read 2 Kings 17:29. It will explain the five beast kingdoms that come in on the Samaritans. Anyways, but there's a whole lot there. And I don't know. I just feel like the Lord was showing me that right there is basically a parable of what's going to happen with from the Jews to the Gentiles. Back to the Jews again, John chapter 4, if that helps at all. But I don't know, when I read it, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was just like, well, I don't know, I don't want to be that guy, but I just kept on reading.
Okay, I've been trying to go two ways here, listening to David and Angelica also, but anyway. Okay, anybody got any comments on what Isaac said? Well, you made it through the first round, Isaac. Praise God. Okay, there was some question in the chat there. Let's see. What are y'all talking about here, David and Angelica? What are y'all talking about? Then? Let me see here. Let me try to catch up with you.
Want me to bring it up or mention it? You guys can talk to Dave and find out about it.
What's that? Yeah.
Well, I remember listening to David's teaching. One of them, I'm going to have to go back through and find it because I've got, you know, you just kind of go through things. And one day I heard him saying that the woman in Revelation, was that 12 I put on there?
Yeah, that's the
woman that's the, with the radiant the sun, had 12 stars above her head. He said, people have a hard time believing this, but that's the same woman in Revelation 17, the harlot. And I said, what? He said, that's what happened. She became the harlot. She had the apostles' teaching. This is the beginning of the church. It's looking at the beginning of the church, the woman. But the bride comes out of that woman. That's not the bride. He said, that woman becomes that harlot in Revelation 17.
Okay, let's read it. I think we'll see some clarity here if we just read it. A great sign was seen in heaven. A woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. And she cries out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And that's the man child. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going anywhere crazy here. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the man child. And the man child comes out of the bride.
Yep.
Okay.
And I was saying, the misunderstanding there, I think probably I'm listening to you say it now. It's like, yeah, we know that this is the bride, and like, you know, just, I guess, since the beginning of the church, so to speak, you know, it has become a harlot, you know, just like we've all come out of the harlot, right? Out of the mother. And so the bride is taken from the harlot, but the harlot's still the harlot. Is that what we're saying here, Dave?
Basically what's going to happen. Yeah. The bride comes out of the harlot.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I was thinking you said the harlot, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said, Tay. So maybe you can clarify.
I mean, because David was saying this woman that you're seeing, that's why John was so amazed when he saw her. He couldn't believe what he was seeing, because this same woman started out with the teachings of the apostles. She wasn't the harlot at the beginning, this churched woman. Now we're talking about a harlot from the beginning of time. Absolutely, you can go there, but there's also a woman that is in the church that becomes a harlot. She starts out with the teaching, but she becomes a harlot. It's the bride comes out of that.
I agree with what you're saying. I was thinking you were saying that the bride becomes the harlot.
No. The bride comes out of that harlot. And John was looking at this woman who he saw at the beginning, 12, and this part of this woman, and she had these teachings of the apostles and everything else. Mm-hmm. Then he sees her up in 17, this woman had become a harlot. And it was not the bride. The bride, you know, came out of that in the wilderness.
Okay.
I'm misunderstanding.
That's what I thought. That's why John was so amazed. He's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean,
what? He's like, what happened here? That's why he was just dumbfounded.
Can I ask a question here?
Go ahead.
If that was the case, then how does, and the woman fled into a place where she was nourished for a time, times and a half time?
Again, you're looking at the bride. You're not looking at the whole woman itself. You're looking at the bride that comes out of that woman.
The woman was delivered of a man-child, and he was caught up.
Yeah, this woman that you're looking at is the bride you're hearing about. There's also the woman that this woman comes out of that doesn't go into that. She doesn't become the bride. She becomes a harlot.
That's the apostate religion that's now.
Now, the bride comes out of the harlot. We've all come out of the harlot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Like Andrew was saying, we all Babylon, the mother harlot, you know, because none of us came from the pure word of God, because it's been changed, you know. So it's under the man child's teachings that we have come to purity. And so, but not everyone has come to that place.
Right. And there will be some later on during the first 3.5 years of the church that still comes in. They're called the little sister. And they will eventually get that latter rain.
So I think what Sunil is
is referring to is that that scripture there is talking about the woman birthing the man child. In other words, the man child comes out of the system. It does, I don't think the man child is birthed out of the bride.
Yes, he is. He's birthed out of the bride. He's also birthed out of that woman too, because he's also part of Babylon. He's been there too.
The man child is also the bride.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. He's all that. He okay. can't be.
You I wouldn't was be, thinking it but, is coming from the system, so to speak. The man child is coming out of that system.
He does. He's
birthed out of that system.
He comes out of the system, and also as he's maturing, he also goes into the bride ministry, and then out of the bride comes all the man-childs. It's just a progression of your maturation. Okay, we're out of time. Hold your questions till Thursday night. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's some really good stuff in that thing I posted there on that, how they're coming out of Babylon and going into a more reality of what God wants, you know, because it talks about the blood of Abel to Zechariah, how they all come out of this Babylonish system. Because we all originated from this Babylonish system, even way back there in the book of Genesis, when Abel was killed, he was the saint, and his brother basically is from Babylon. And
did you find the name of that thing?
Yeah, I put it right in this chat. Yeah, I actually did some little writing in there.
Babylon, the mother of the harlots, come out and receive not of her plagues. Is that what you put in there?
Yeah, that's what you can put in YouTube, and you'll hopefully it'll take you right there from one of the things on site.
Okay. All right. Everybody get that if you want to. And listen to it. We're going to talk about it. It's up at 9:51 p.m. in the chat. Babylon, the mother of harlots, come out and receive not of her plagues. I guess that's right. The name of it.
I just put the links in the chat.
That'll be the teaching.
Oh, did you? That's even better.
All right. Julie's on it.
Yeah, that girl's up. On it.
Yeah, I tell you, it's kind of hard to stay up with these curls sometimes, isn't it? Don't get big head.
Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night. We thank you, Lord, for straightening everything out. In Jesus' name. That everybody's clearing their head about what's going on, what's fixing to happen. And we praise you, Father. And Lord, we just ask for more wisdom in this end time stuff. It's fascinating to talk about and to find out from others the revelations that they've gotten. And we just thank you for it, Father. We ask that you continue on through Thursday night as we ask these questions and answer them for people that everybody has a chance to answer. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us, lead us, guide us, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for that everybody is healed, delivered, and set free in this fellowship in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me stop.
Hey,